Hello and greetings to all Kandaki Queen Size listeners. My name is Andrew Cheek and I'm speaking to you from England. I would just like to briefly tell you my story regarding reggae music and my great love of music in general and indeed radio. When I was a very, very young baby, my mother always had the radio on in the kitchen, so I was introduced to pop music at a very early age. I'm not sure which radio stations she used to listen to because the BBC stations at that time only played a small amount of pop music every day until 1967 anyway, when the main stations to listen to at that time would have been the pirate stations that played pop music all the time. And indeed, Radio Luxembourg at night. But of course, being a little boy, I would have been in bed by then anyway. Anyway, I was born in 1962. And as I say, the radio was on all the time at home with our mother doing the housework, etc. And my first, the first records that I ever remember really liking, and this was in 1964, so bear in mind, I would only have been about 2 years old, was My Boy Lollipop by Millie, which was a number one over here in England and extremely successful elsewhere in Europe, I believe, and possibly America. Anyway, at that time, obviously, I didn't realise that was a new kind of music from Jamaica, known at that time as Bluebeat. But it really, really took off in Britain, and it was still mainly an underground type of music, mainly played in clubs, and a youth culture in Britain at the time, known as mods. They championed that kind of music, along with early Tamla Motown and soul music. Anyway, so about 2 years later, I remember liking another song that was also a Bluebeat song. I think it charted in Britain as well, as by Prince Buster, called Al Capone, another fantastic song. And then when ska and Bluebeat started merging into a slower, more easygoing style, like Rocksteady. And also, of course, then in 1969, Desmond Dekker had an extremely massive hit with Israelites over here. It was at number one for quite some time. By this time, I would have been 6 years old. And the youth culture in Britain at the time, called skinheads, were buying a great deal of reggae music on the Trojan label over here. And helped it in no small way get into the charts in Britain. And between 1969 and 1970, I think there was probably at least one reggae single in the UK pop charts. I remember stuff like Elizabethan Reggae by Boris Gardner. There was Love of the Common People by Nicky Thomas, all around 1969, 1970. Anyway, I was still a young boy then. I was seven or eight. So my grandparents lived in North London, and I got to hear about an antique and collector's market in West London, in Portobello Road in the Notting Hill area. And I asked my granddad to take me, if he'd take me there. So he took me there one Saturday. And I'd never seen so many West Indian people in my life. And all the way down Portobello Road, which is a long road with a market, I could hear Bluebeat and reggae and this newer style of music that I hadn't heard before, with lots of echo and reverb, which I later learnt to know that was referred to as dub. And with just really rhythm tracks, with, as I say, a lot of reverb, and sometimes with lyrics mixed over the top called toasting. Anyway, it was an incredible area, still is now, although it's gentrified. But I started going there on my own. Even though I was a young boy, I wasn't particularly concerned because it was an extremely run-down ghetto-type area with lots of squats, places where people were living free of charge. And it was also home to several underground bands, Hawkwind, the Pink Fairies, Mick Farren is a well-known figure, and the counterculture scene, writing for International Times magazine, etc. And as I say, it was extremely run down and a little bit dangerous. And I suppose being a young boy, I felt quite brave going around there, but I never encountered any problems. And later on, fast forward a few years to 1976, there were race riots at the Notting Hill Carnival. And that was also coinciding with the time that punk music first started breaking in Britain. And obviously there weren't very many punk records to be bought. And in the clubs, they would supplement their playing of what few punk records there were by playing reggae. And in that sense, the unity between punks, Rastafarians and lovers of reggae music in general was born, where, in a sense, I suppose, people like myself regarded reggae music as punk music for the West Indian people, tales of their oppression, suffering, poverty, life on the streets, the violence, etc., etc. And, of course, their belief in Haile Selassie. Anyway, so I, later on as a teenager, used to go to Portobello Road as well and the Notting Hill area to buy punk records. And again, I would just constantly hear reggae music. And if you stayed there till early in the evening, then the blues parties would start. I never attended any. I was very young, after all, 14, 15, 16. And but there used to be several of them going on all at the same time in the area. And the volume was so incredible, the ground would shake. It was, I think, it's probably louder than having a band in a basement. But it was an amazing area. It still is an amazing area. And in about 1976, I remember, it wasn't, I suppose it was extremely commercial type of reggae. It's a song called Midnight Rider by Peter Davidson. That became very popular over here. I loved it myself, and I still do. And so reggae pretty much started entering the mainstream more and more, although it didn't have as much chart success as it had in 1969 and 1970. And, of course, Bob Marley's success was, you know, a little bit under the surface at that time. But then, of course, in 1977, when the Exodus album came out, there was that big hit Jamming, which I liked a lot. And then Is This Love in early 1978. And Bob Marley had chart success in Britain just about every year up until his death. But also, obviously, Bob Marley's music was attracting a large white audience because it was a lot more rock orientated, shall we say, a lot more industry orientated. I like Bob Marley's music, but I never regarded it as authentic as the Roots music. In fact, I'm sure listeners to this programme are aware that the British-based reggae bands were always accused of not being as authentic as the Jamaican reggae bands. I suppose a lot of the black youth that were born in Britain hadn't had the same experiences in life as they would have done in Kingston, Trenchtown, Montego Bay, etc., etc. So I can kind of see where they're coming from, rather in so much that the working class punk bands like the Sex Pistols were my favourite band, and there was obviously a lot of art school middle class type punk bands that came along as well. I mean, the Clash were regarded as a little bit like that, although they're obviously regarded as the band that really helped unite punk and reggae fans. You know, obviously covering Junior Mervyn's Police and Thieves on their first album. Anyway, I haven't been to Portobello Road for quite a few years, but it has changed a lot. The last time I was there, maybe about 3 years ago, it's gentrified. The slums have gone, or they've been renovated, and it's now the most expensive and wealthy borough in the whole of London. Well, I hope you've enjoyed my little story, everybody. Peace to all of you. Bless. Bye-bye.